Coming up, we'll talk about the Title IX statute in a post-Bostock age. Concerned Women for America's work to protect Title IX and the Idaho Women's Sports Bill. And what gender identity now looks like in federal law. With Vice President of Government Relations for Concerned Women for America, Doreen Denny, right after this on Washington Watch. Welcome back to Washington Watch. It is Thursday, July 30th, and I'm Sarah Perry sitting in with you this afternoon. Well, on March 18th, the Fairness in Women's Sports Act, known as House Bill 500, passed the Idaho State Legislature, and shortly thereafter, Governor Brad Little signed the historic bill into law. It's the first in the country, ensures that women and girls have a level playing field when competing in athletics. Not surprisingly, the ACLU was quick off the blocks. They sued on behalf of a transgender athlete, and the matter now rests with U.S. District Judge David Nye. He has said he will decide on the matters of an injunction or a dismissal of the case by August 10th, which is the date on which fall sports in Idaho begin. Now, my next guest is on the front lines protecting girls and young women in interscholastic athletics. I have had the pleasure of working with her, and she is tremendous. It's Doreen Denny, Vice President of Government Relations for Concerned Women for America. Doreen, welcome back.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So I think we have to start with the elephant in the room, which is Title IX and interscholastic athletics for young girls and young women now appears to be in a bit of the liberal crosshairs post-Bostock. And I find myself worrying, as I'm sure most of the conservative or rational thinking people in the world do, that this is now the next federal statute to fall. Do you feel the same way?
Well, I think we feel that the ground is shaking, and we need to be very vigilant to ensure that the decision that was reached by the court in Bostock is not extended in a way that it was never intended. Let's not forget that there was disagreement in that result Title VII and employment law, that Congress has never legislated this way, and the court was basically acting in its own right to be legislators instead of judges. And so that's the first issue. But the second issue is just the concern that we would have that like often happens, that decisions get then extrapolated, and Title IX would be one of the very first ones to be at risk. And it's stated as such even in Justice Alito's dissent as one among many implications or potential consequences if we're not vigilant.
Now, we do know that we have an administration that takes very seriously this notion of textualism and taking the word of the law as it is passed at the time, not out of context, not infusing meaning or desired political outcome. In fact, Department of Justice argued when Bostock was before the Supreme Court that when Title VII was enacted in 1964, sex meant biological sex, naturally, the physiological distinction between male and female. In fact, the Department of Education, when they determined through the Office of Civil Rights that Selena Sewell, who is the track athlete who has brought suit against the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Association, when they reviewed her claim after a very long 8 months, not a flippant decision, they did find discrimination in her case on the status of being a biological girl. The Department of Justice filed a statement of interest in Selena Sewell's case as well. So we know that the government, the administration, is taking very seriously this notion of making sure that biological women are protected. So you actually, together in conjunction with Save Women's Sports, and we've had their founder, Beth Steltzer, on the radio with us, talk a little bit about the letter that you've advanced that a number of athletes have signed on.
Yeah, well, and it's very important to recognize that the biological distinctions of sex and the capacity for a person who would want to identify as the opposite sex from being a male to being a woman, those inherent differences don't just go away. Those physiological advantages do stay, and research is proving that. There have been studies that have done that, but unfortunately, the NCAA has kind of gone along the same track as the International Olympic Committee in declaring that if a biological male athlete takes a year of hormone treatments, then that athlete could then go into the women's category and compete against women. And because that's been happening, and it's had real effects. I mean, there have been national titles that have been won. It was really important that the basis for Idaho's law became the law of the state. And so Idaho decided, you know, with this threat, we're going to pass this law. Well, you can imagine that the ACLU got right on it and asked the NCAA to boycott Idaho. And because of that, we felt it was very important to provide the alternative voice here and say, excuse me, we don't need activism against Idaho for doing something as basic as standing up for female athletes, that female athletics are for women and for biological women, and that's the way that it should be. And so over 300 female athletes, they were NCAA current or former athletes or professional athletes, some of them have been Olympians, signed this letter that was sent to the Board of Governors. You know, they were willing to have their name and, you know, public to the extent that it went to the NCAA, but we haven't made those names public. Some of them have come out publicly. But that's a very strong statement to the NCAA, asking them not to act in retaliation against Idaho for doing something that they felt was important, which was stand up for female athletes.
Yes, and the fact that there were 300 of them is so impressive. In fact, you mentioned the International Olympic Committee as well. Just for those who are listening, SaveWomensSports.com is continuing to run an active petition to the International Olympic Board. And in a certain respect, we sort of got a stay of execution on this because they had originally determined that they were going to permit biological males to compete alongside biological females. So there's a petition that's currently running there at SaveWomensSports.com. But for a copy of the letter that's also gone out to the NCAA Board of Governors, visit ConcernedWomen.org, where you can find a copy of that letter. Doreen, you've been writing very exclusively and extensively on this notion of gender identity. You had an op-ed last December in the Washington Times about how Trump can save women's sports. Now that you look back, did you find that an accurately predictive article? Has he done through this administration what you had hoped he would do?
Well, he's taken some really positive steps. And we saw that with both of the Department of Justice statements of interest in these critical cases, one in Connecticut, which and one in Idaho. Those are still ongoing. I mean, the legal challenges are still underway. And then making the decision in the complaint, which was a civil rights complaint from the Department of Education in Selena Sewell's case with the Connecticut track athletes, that was also significant, ruling in their favor. We still have some outstanding business, however. We've actually filed two complaints at the college level and feel that
it's
all very related to these. Yes, one is against Franklin Pierce University for the athletes for the situation in which an athlete won the NCAA title in 2019 in women's hurdles, and the other is the case in University of Montana athlete that won the Big Sky Conference championship in February in the indoor mile. Now, two of the athletes that have had to run against and compete against the Big Sky Conference, in the Big Sky Conference, University of Montana, two of them are from Idaho and are now defendants of the Idaho law. And so they are part of this challenge, and we're grateful because they're the front line. They're the real victims here.
Yes.
And it's important, you know, organizations like ours, we can provide voice and provide mechanisms for trying to get the government to act, for recognizing and supporting the legal challenges. But it's the athletes that are on the front lines, who are the really ones feeling and experiencing the realities of being sidelined in sports this way. And it's not fair. And in fact, one of the athletes, the Olympians that signed this letter, it's a pretty big name in the books. Her name's Donna DeVerona. She was one of the pioneers of Title IX, and then also an Olympian. She was a world-class marathon in the category of swimming. And it's just important to remember that that these people that have paved the way for us, they fought long and hard for women athletes to have a place on the playing field where sports were dedicated to our competition.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to preserve. Because if we can have a situation that just allows for any male athletes that are identifying as women or want to or think that they've got a better shot at it to be able to do that, you know, we're not going to have women's athletics anymore. We might have mixed sports. We might have, you know, non-gendered or, you know, sports, mixed categories, but we're not going to have female athletics. And that's what we're trying to preserve here.
And it's interesting, you and I have talked about this. This comes up repeatedly because I think there is this sort of notion that if we say it, or at least for me, if I just keep explaining the fact that we are losing 50 years of progress as women and everything that we fought for, that naturally people will go, oh, it's common sense. Well, naturally, we don't want to take away these legislative protections. And yet, you can still elicit the fervor of the Twitter mob should you say something like J.K. Rowling does, which is just that men are men and women are women. So we've talked also this week about some recent polling out of 10 battleground states. And our friend Jennifer Bryson wrote about this recently at American Greatness. There were 10 battleground states. These are all states that Trump needs to win for re-election. 75% of respondents, registered voters, said no to males in female sports. Now, did this surprise you that in these swing states, which are generally a mix, you're talking about the electorate, these are generally a mix of individuals who have a variety of perspectives, 75% of them said, get biological men out of women's sports?
Well, I saw those polls, and I was surprised and astounded and frankly very gratified to see that, because ones that had previously, that I'd seen previously, maybe on a national scale, maybe not state by state, had maybe been, you know, more people had been undecided on this issue. And so you maybe had 60% say that, and a lot of people just not sure, actually around 20%. They didn't know how to think about that. I think that we've made some progress in recognizing it because of what's happening. And I think it's so common sense and basic for people that they're kind of wondering why this is, why are we even having this discussion?
Right.
But the reality is it real. This is not a hypothetical question of will the Bostock decision now apply to Title IX and displace women? No, this is already happening. This happened because the Obama administration put this into place. Schools, because of the NCAA's policy, schools are basically forced to have to, at the college level, to have to maybe accept an individual in a transgender category, category into female sports. It's wrong. It shouldn't be happening.
Right.
And I was really grateful that Senator Lee, in a hearing just last week, the NCAA president, Mark Emmert, was before the committee to talk about protecting the integrity of college sports. It was dealt with the college at the compensation issue, but he asked Mark Emmert whether or not he thought, stood by the NCAA's statement that Idaho law was going to be harmful and they were going to take it up, that it's not a good law. And he said he stood by that. And, that's just a slap in the face for female athletes. And honestly, if there are people listening today feel strongly about this, please send letters to the NCAA. Please send letters to Mark Emmert and the president. Tell them it's not right and that they should back off and that they should support female athletes. We need to make sure that our daughters today don't see the future for them as being something that's discouraging, and basically they don't have a shot. And that's what's happened. And unfortunately, it's happened in for athletes at the high school level that weren't able to thrive and flourish to the extent that they would have liked to. They were disadvantaged at that place, and it's happening at the college level as well. And we'll see it in the Olympics next summer if there isn't a change. And so I really appreciate, Sarah, that you've taken time to discuss this today, because it's something that really needs to be, we're aware of. And I'm grateful that the voters in those swing states see this as being an important issue and something that they're on the right side of the issue.
You know, it's interesting because you talked about really how discouraging it is. And Selena Sewell has said as much. She said basically it's debilitating when you get to the starting block and you look over and you see two biological boys running with you, regardless of how much testosterone suppression they take. You can never make up for bone density, lung capacity, muscle mass, innate speed. And we know that the New Zealand scholars who came out a few months ago in the Journal of Medical Ethics, not surprisingly, the science supported precisely what we've been saying from the beginning, which is that biological males possess physiological and therefore performative advantages over biological women in sports. All of this effort to make sure that our participation and our daughters and granddaughters' participation is protected, only to be torn apart by the culture mob that suddenly decides that the word sex no longer means what it has always meant. And unfortunately, the Supreme Court was an unfortunate harbinger and an interpreter, I believe, the wrong way. I have some words with Justice Gorsuch, if I ever get him privately. That being said, I do believe this is something that we need to continue to fight for. SaveWomensSports.org is where the petition is running to the International Olympic Committee. And for a copy of the NCAA letter, go to ConcernedWomen.org, where you can find that letter. You can see what was said, what these 300 athletes were willing to commit themselves to. Use that as a fundamental block as you reach out to the NCAA, because before we know it, these are our girls or our granddaughters on the starting block. We don't want them to be debilitated and discouraged by this. Doreen, thanks for all the good work you do at CWA.